Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express Monorail, our highway in the sky. For those of you standing, please hold on to the handrails throughout our journey and stay clear of the doors. For the comfort of others, no smoking, please. Thank you.
Hiya folks, you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse, episode 124 on the White Dragon Podcast Network, recored live on October the 24th, 2016. This is your everyday guide to the magic of Walt Disney World and the larger Orlando universe beyond it. My name is Kevin Kessler, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy, Peter Mandel.
Kevin.
Pete.
What's going on?
Not much. My voice is somewhat back. It's still a little hoarse, but, you know, we're getting there.
All right. Sounds good.
Yeah, I shouldn't be as dead as I was last week.
That's a bonus.
Yeah. Folks, we are two lifelong Disney fanatics who have managed to keep the magic of Disney alive in our lives every day, and we want to share that magic with you. So, pull up a chair, gather the family, or pop in your favorite set of headphones, and let's experience the magic together. Pete!
Kevin, how you feeling?
I'm feeling much, much better. I still have a bit of a lingering cough, but I think the worst is behind me.
Okay, good.
Thankfully. So before we jump into the show proper this week, folks, a couple mousekeeping items to take care of. First, if you are like my good friend Peter Mandel and you enjoy a good Walt Disney World related t-shirt, please go over to tpublic.com/user/magicalmeltdown and check out my good friend Mikey Wisenhunt and his t-shirt store there. He's got a whole bunch of great stuff. He's coming up with new stuff every single month. A lot of it's Disney related, and I think you guys will really get a kick out of it. Also, in Two Men and the Mouse related mousekeeping type news, you know, a lot of people have noticed lately that the show hasn't, you know, we've missed some weeks, and then our sister show Mouselaneous Discussion has been on hiatus for a couple months now, and people, you know, people ask about it and people get upset about it, but the reality of the situation is it's gotten to be very, very costly to continue to run the network the way you guys have come to know it. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we need new equipment. We need, you know, to pay for more server space, because the more shows you post, the more space it takes up, obviously. And then as the shows grow, you also have to pay for increased bandwidth. So that is why I've opened up I've done what a lot of other podcasts do. I was very hesitant to do something like this, Pete, just because, like, I don't like, you know, asking the audience for money. But, like, if it wasn't for the sponsors that we have, you know, Dave and Kingdom Strollers, Jeff Barnes, the network would have folded, you know, 6 months ago.
Right.
As it is, it's alive and it's moving, but it's moving very slow, and it's moving very slow for a lot of people who have gotten kind of impatient about it. So basically, if you go over to Patreon, which is patreon.com/2menandthemouse WDPN. That's number 2, then Men and the Mouse WDPN. You will find the official White Dragon Podcast Network Patreon page. What that means is you can become a patron of the network. You can select any amount. No amount is too small. Anywhere from $1 up to, you know, the sky's the limit. But you can set a monthly recurring payment and, you know, give what you can to help the network chug along, help it to grow, help it to prosper, and help us to bring back shows like Mouselaneous Discussions, help us get Geek Watchtower back on a semi-regular schedule. It will help to increase the bandwidth. It'll help to get rid of that really annoying hissing sound in the background that you're all hearing right now. Because, again, you know, I need new microphones, we need a new soundboard, and it's all just stuff that I'm not able to just kind of shovel out of my own pockets anymore. So, again, patreon.com/2menandthemouse WDPN. There's a bunch of, like, little prizes and stuff there, too, for different levels. Some of them you guys can get to actually participate in polls that will directly influence what we talk about on the show. For people that donate $10 or more a month, I'm going to be doing, like, once a month, I'm going to do a little solo, like, uncensored Disney reactions audio clip that I'll be giving out to those people. So we have a bunch of actual really cool things. I mean, if somebody really wanted to go above and beyond, I'm sure nobody will ever do this. But for a $500 donation, you can actually be on the show with Pete and I to do an e-ticket attraction of your choice. So there's plenty of options, everything from $1 up to $500. So if you guys can find it in your hearts to help out the White Dragon Podcast Network and help us continue to provide this entertainment for you on a weekly basis going forward, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And honestly, if you're just like, you know, forget you, I'm not giving you my money, that's perfectly fine too. You don't have to. It's just I'm throwing it out there for the people that have asked how they can help. So again, thank you very much for listening to that. And now it's ready time for the news, Peter Mandel.
I always like the news.
The news brought to you, as always, by Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, who will plan your Disney vacation for you at no additional cost to you. Who we have to have him back on the show. Maybe in a week or two, we can have Dave.
I saw Dave today.
Yeah. How'd that go?
It was pretty good.
Yeah? Nice little visit there in Rogue Comics? Yeah.
It's always nice when Dave stops in.
Yeah. Well, Dave, if you're listening, get in contact. Let's get you on the show either next week or the week after. Okay, Pete, so we got some worldwide news coming at you.
Okay.
All right, so the worldwide news, filming for the ABC Disney Parks Christmas special will take place in November. Please note the words Christmas special, Peter Mandel. Because as we've known the last couple of years, it has been a far cry from the parades of old.
Yeah, I thought last year was fun, though.
It's really not, but like I said, it's not a parade anymore. But and here's the other thing. So it's going to be filming from November 9th to the 13th at all four Walt Disney World theme parks.
Okay, that's cool.
So we're going to be getting stuff in Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Epcot. Here's the thing. No parade in Walt Disney World.
What do you mean?
The parade will be in Disneyland only.
Really?
And Walt Disney World is getting all the live performances.
Okay, maybe that makes sense logistically for them.
I would think it does as well, because it is kind of like, when you're watching the parade, I guess it's a little, you know, jarring. But, I mean, I love the parade more than I hate the live performances. Like, even during the Macy's parade on Thanksgiving, I'm always just like, get to the floats. I want to see the big SpongeBob balloon.
I don't mind the live performances.
Okay.
You know, the live, not lip-synced performances.
Yes, of course, the very not lip-synced performances that...
They don't bother me. I don't know. But I'm usually in such a great mood. It's Christmas morning. You know,
right.
It would have to be. I remember, was it 2 years ago? It was really bad.
I think it was 2 years ago where, like,
there was 1 year. I remember we were like, ooh, that literally, like, put me in a sour mood.
It was almost like it was just a, like, an Aulani commercial and not like a Disney Parks Christmas special.
Yeah, last year had a lot of Aulani, but I didn't mind last year so much. I thought it was all right.
All right. Well, there you go. So the you know, the Shop Disney Parks app. Have you used that yet?
I mean, I have it, and I've gone on it. I've never used it.
Okay. Well, there is a feature on it that will allow you to pick up your packages at the gates to the park.
Okay.
Which they've now done away with.
Oh.
So you can still get it sent to your resort room or to your home, but you can't get it sent through the app to the front of the park. I guess they figure if you're there, just get it in the park. And because if you buy it, like, let's say you go to Mouse Gear and you buy, like, so much stuff that you can't carry it because your name's Peter Mandel. Yeah. You can have it sent either, once again, to your resort, or you can still send it from the park to the front of the resort. You just can't do it with the app anymore.
Hmm. Hey, speaking of merchandise.
Okay.
Have you seen, there is a holiday astromech droid.
I have not seen that, no.
Can you keep your eyes peeled for it? I really have to own one.
Yeah. What is it, like? Is it like an action figure?
Yeah. It's probably like $15.
Okay.
You know, and then I just need to find a way for you to get it to me, but I mean, we can figure that out. I need it, I don't think they're going to have it after the Halloween season. It's like R2B00.
Really?
Yeah, R2.
Oh, Boo. Oh, R2 Boo. Okay, so it's like a Halloween astromech.
Yeah, it's carded, and then like he's like all like orange and purple and black.
All right. Well, tell you what, if I'm in, I was some studios, right?
I would think that's where they're gonna have it.
Well, if I'm in studios and I see it, I will call you immediately.
Awesome.
Okay.
Back to the show.
Disney Springs news. Amorette's Patisserie is operating under reduced hours. So for those of you that like to get your macaroon fix. You have to understand that it's going to be open from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday to Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, and 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Sundays. Previously, Peter Mandel, on weekdays, it was open from 11 to 11, and on weekends, from 11 to 11:30.
Okay.
So, reduced hours for Emirates.
You know, when you open a business.
Yeah.
Typically, you think you know what your hours are going to be.
Well, also, you know, it's value season.
Right.
So, I mean, I was at Springs on Friday night, and let me tell you something. There were a lot of people there.
Really? Good.
Oh, yeah. You're seeing, like, huge crowds the last 2 weeks in Disney. Because a lot of people think that that's because last year when they hiked up the annual pass prices, a lot of people downgraded their passes to passes that have blackout dates.
Okay.
And the blackout dates are over now. So all the local annual pass holders and all the annual pass holders from around the world are kind of converging on Disney now. And they've been doing a lot of deals and stuff currently to get you to come. So very crowded. I believe the Epcot parking lot was actually closed the other day.
Wow, like max capacity?
Yes, the Epcot parking lot.
Okay.
Can you imagine what that... Like, I've seen the studios parking lot full before. And when that happens, you have to go to Epcot and take the boat.
Right.
But I mean, that's egregious.
Is that like a food and wine thing?
I think it's a food and wine thing. I mean,
right.
You know the size of that Epcot parking lot is. I think it's in like the top five biggest parking lots like in the world.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't know anything about Disney parking lots.
I mean, they're big.
I mean, nothing. I don't even look out the window at them.
Right.
Because I'm always on the bus. I've never even... Like, I literally couldn't tell you the first thing about parking at Disney.
Well, the first thing would be that cars go there.
That's good.
Yep. Some people tend to park their RVs across 8 spots, and that's not cool, but...
Disney must love that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they allow it, so...
That's true.
Because, like, when you come in, it's not just, like, Peter Mandel's driving into Disney... And he's going to just park wherever he pleases. Like, they are telling you exactly where you're going to park.
So how do these people park in 8 spots?
I guess the RV pulls in and they're like, all right, here's these 8 spots.
Hmm.
Okay, so in further Disney Springs news, Happy Hour is coming to Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar there in the Springs.
Okay.
So they're having a happy hour, which is pretty interesting.
What time is that happy hour?
3 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday.
I get it.
So you're looking at exclusive pricing for appetizers and for certain alcoholic beverages. So some appetizers are going to be $7, $7 cocktails, $7 wines, and $25 pitchers of draft beer. I will also point out that there's also a happy hour that goes on down the road from Disney Springs at the Miller's Ale House, in which draft beer is $2. And, you know, that's where I usually go after a night at the Springs.
But, well, yeah, I mean,
I know for vacationers, it makes sense to just go to Jock's, but
right.
For all you locals, it's, you know, I mean, Miller's Ale House is a big deal down here, Pete.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of them. Yeah. Okay. So skipping resort news and water park news this week, going right to the Magic Kingdom, my park.
Now, by skipping that news, you mean you're just ignoring it or there was no news?
I mean, there's catastrophic news in both and I'm ignoring it to move on to Magic Kingdom because I love it so much. No, there's no. No resort news, no water park news. Okay, so this one is, like, I mean, I feel like this is kind of controversial.
Okay.
There's a new marquee sign outside the Carousel of Progress. They've done away with the big purple gear.
Really?
It's gone.
Oh, no.
In its place is a shiny silver and blue, like, sleek, modern-looking sign.
Oh, like, I don't
I'm
know
not
how I feel
wrong
about that.
To be upset about this, right?
You know, for a ride that is only there based on nostalgia, why would they get rid of that sign?
I know. And that sign is just like, it gives you this sense. They even changed the color scheme of it recently, in which, like, the gears even fit with it more.
Yeah, don't get it.
I don't get it either, but you know what? We don't run Walt Disney World, so there you go. But the sign is changed. It is now... like I said, like a sleek silver, almost like a shield kind of looking thing. Like,
You should text me a picture of that next time you see it.
I will. I definitely will.
I'm curious.
You know what? Thank God for this show, and thank goodness for our group and, like, all of our friends around the world, and for, like, my friendship with you. Because, like, this is the kind of thing where, like, I used to freak out to my non-Disney friends about it before the era of Two Men and the Mouse. I'd be like, no, you don't understand. They changed the sign outside of the carousel. The carousel of progress. And they'd be like, who cares?
Oh,
things like new carpeting in the monorail, like things that are a big deal to us, but to most people are just like, okay.
Right.
So thank goodness for all of you.
I totally understand that.
Okay. No Epcot news this week.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. None. DAC news. Changes are currently coming to the Extra Magic Hours lineup for Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Yep, we've got Cali River Rapids is being taken away from it.
Huh.
Yep, and to make up for it, they are adding in Triceratops Spin and Primeval Whirl. I get this because...
Oh, I get it too. Yeah, that makes total sense.
It's getting colder out. You don't want to go on a ride where you get wet in the morning when it's
I also can't help but think that Extra Magic Hour has to be dominated by families with children.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, isn't that like one of the joys of staying at Disney is like, you know, we can get in a little early and kind of get on the rides. Like, that's a very, you know, there aren't many like little kids. For whatever reason, little kids don't sleep too late usually. They'll get up. It doesn't matter if they got like 2 hours of sleep. They're still going to get up at like, you know, the crack of dawn.
Of course.
So I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, this morning when I left to go to work, it was like 58 degrees, I think.
Yeah, it's cold.
Which here is, I mean, that's pretty chilly.
Yeah, for there. Yeah.
Yeah, I like my friend Jenna the other day was like, she's like, oh, I don't feel good. You know, she's lived in Orlando her whole life. She was like, I always get sick when the weather changes. I said, the weather has not changed. I was like, you don't understand what weather change is.
Like, no one that you know there owns like an Arctic coat.
Oh, no, they do, because they wear them when it gets to be 60 degrees out.
Yeah, that's great.
And they wear like these big coats and like scarves and stuff like that when it gets to be like 60. It's insane.
I mean, it was like 60 here all day, and I still wore shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah, so. I could totally wear shorts and a t-shirt in 60 degrees.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even...
I'm going to wear shorts until I have to stop. Like, have to stop.
DHS news. Club Villain has extended its current reign beyond Halloween. It was supposed to only go to Halloween, but it's actually extended dates into December now.
Okay.
Tickets are still $129 per person. So... Before I get to the last bit of news, I actually wanted to, somebody told me recently, and I don't know if this is true or not, but they said they were 1,000% sure. The Writer's Stop has closed in Hollywood.
What?
Like, that's my place. That's my central perk.
I don't know if you know this, but the Writer's Stop has the second most popular snack in all Disney property.
Yes, the carrot cake cookie. They have relocated the carrot cake cookie to the candy shop, which is right by what used to be the Villain's store.
They can't close that place based on that best-selling snack alone.
I mean, I'm with you. I know you're being sarcastic, but you're right. But, I mean, like, you don't understand. Like, this, like, it was my place. Like, as, like, an author and a writer, I always kind of felt cool going into the Writer's Stop, stopping in, being like, hi, I'm a writer.
Right.
But
I can remember going with Heather, and I mean, as a non-writer, I can remember going in there and first of all thinking it was super weird.
It's like a little coffee house.
Fit.
Right.
It doesn't fit at all, but we loved it because we would always go to, you know, we go to Sci-Fi every trip.
Right.
And it's odd how it's connected. Like, it is just the weirdest place.
I know.
But totally loved it.
But you know what? Like, it was always cool to me how you can just like living down here, me and my friends would just go and we'd go into the Writer's Stop. We'd sit on the couches. We'd get a couple cups of coffee and just like chill and watch like the same 10 minutes of trailers for Once Upon a Time over and over again on the TV. Like, it was kind of like the hangout.
Did you know all the employees?
No, but like, the employees in there were always super friendly, always struck up conversation. Hmm. So the last bit of news. This one, I think, is going to hurt you. I think this is going to be a deep cut.
Okay.
They have closed the Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. It is behind walls right now.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of the bust of Walt.
Well.
Disney hasn't officially said what's going on, but it is believed that they're getting rid of it.
The bust of Walt and like 15 other people? I'm okay with it. It seems weird.
I mean, maybe it's like, this is where Bill Cosby was, so let's get rid of it. But
you might be right.
I mean, it just, again, like, all the purists are up in arms about it because they're just like, they're taking away everything Hollywood Studios was supposed to be. I'm like, you know what Hollywood Studios is supposed to do? It's supposed to take your money. And people have to pay to go. But it just seems like they're taking away so much from Hollywood Studios and not giving you anything.
Well, so, they're about to be.
But yeah, and you know, in 2 or 3 years' time, I will be eating those words. But that's the news this week. All right, so we are going to take a quick break. We're going to hear from our sponsors and the rest of the White Dragon Podcast Network, and then we'll be back with our e-ticket attraction of the week. So stay tuned. More Two Men and the Mouse coming at you right after this. You know, Pete, it's hard work planning a Disney vacation.
Of course.
Your whole family has to get going. You got to pack everything up. You got to figure out where you're eating. You got to figure out where you're staying. But you know what makes life so much easier, makes your trip planning a more fun experience?
Tell me. That sounds like something I need.
Absolutely. You need a travel agent.
Do we know one of those?
We absolutely do. We know our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse, folks.
We've both used him.
Yes, we have. Dave Weikert plans our Disney vacations all the time, and we would not recommend him if we didn't use his services ourselves. Dave started his Cranford-based business here in 2008, and in that time has been planning hundreds of Walt Disney World vacations. Dave plans every trip as if it were his own, and you will never find someone more passionate about Disney. Very easy to work with, and will do his best to make sure you're satisfied. Working with Dave, you're likely to pay less and get more. And what's better than that, Peter Mandel?
Tell me.
You never pay a charge for Dave's services. It is 100% free. Dave will plan your entire trip for no additional cost to you.
That sounds awesome.
Absolutely. Dave has helped over 875 families enjoy their Disney vacations. A graduate of the College of Disney Knowledge, Dave has visited every Disney World resort and has personally stayed at 12 Disney World resorts. He's dined also at every Disney restaurant. He's crazy about Disney food.
That is an accomplishment.
Absolutely. I wish I could say I did
that.
That's
like the snack challenge times 10.
Yep. Dave also gives you Disney dollars for land packages and shipboard credits for any Disney Cruise Line vacations you might be going. This can be used as cash at any Disney destination or store. Traveling with kids in your party, Dave will also provide you autograph books for all your kids.
You give them to us?
Absolutely. Your kids went down with Dave Weikert autograph books.
Of course.
Well, Disney autograph books supplied by Dave Weikert.
Depends how his name on it.
Dave simplifies your life by booking your complete vacation, including resort stay, airlines, Disney meal plans, and park passes. Also, checks daily for new discounts. When specials are announced, he immediately checks availability and rebooks your vacation at the lowest possible price. Dave can also book all your Disney dining and will do his best to get hard-to-book reservations like Cinderella's Royal Table and Be Our Guest. It's really, truly a no-brainer. Folks, take the stress out of your life. Dave Weikert of Magical Travel, the official travel agent of Two Men and the Mouse. If you and your family are taking a trip to the Orlando area this year, your little ones deserve to stroll in style. Lugging a stroller from home can be an annoying and frustrating part of the first leg of your journey, and renting those hard plastic strollers from Disney theme parks can be both costly and uncomfortable for your kids. Well, I'm here to tell you about the solution to your child transport problems, and that's Kingdom Strollers. Kingdom Strollers is a Disney-featured stroller and crib provider that does exactly what you're looking for at a great price. Not only is it less expensive than renting a stroller from the theme parks themselves, but these are padded luxury models with features like drink holders, canopies, storage baskets, and more. What's more, you keep this stroller with you for your entire trip, whereas park-rented strollers, you gotta return them before you leave the park that day. This is gonna make those late-night post-fireworks bus stop queues so much easier, and Dad's shoulders are gonna thank you for it. So, how does it work? You just go to kingdomstrollers.com and make your selection on the stroller or crib that's right for your child. Just let the good folks over there know a great time for delivery and pickup and where you'll be staying. You can pick your stroller or crib up from the luggage stand at your resort and then drop them back off there at the end of your stay. So pack light, leave your stroller at home, and save up to a whopping 50% versus park price stroller rentals when you visit kingdomstrollers.com. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving things that you dream of in The Wisdom of Walt, and put Walt to work for you. The experts told Walt Disney that it would never work. A giant theme park where parents and children could play together? Crazy. So Walt put all of his money into this crazy dream of his. He put his reputation on the line, and anyone else would have quit, discouraged and disillusioned. But Walt Disney built Disneyland. So how did he go from dreaming to doing? And how can you do the same, no matter what your goal? In The Wisdom of Walt, Professor Jeffrey Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, Barnes creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. In The Wisdom of Walt, you'll learn to listen to your Walter ego and start trusting yourself, go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland success, make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available in four different modes: hardcover, paperback, ebook, and audiobook, and it has been the number one bestseller on Amazon in five different categories, including theme parks and personal success in business. To pick up your copy of The Wisdom of Walt today, go to Amazon.com or check out thewisdomofwalt.com. With The Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away.
Hi there, this is Monica Pinto from the Mouse in Our House podcast, inviting you to join me here every other Friday for all things Disney from my perspective. Let's face it, with our fast-paced lives in a crazy world, always running from one place to another, from hectic work days to family responsibilities, from household chores to those never-ending errands, it sometimes seems impossible to survive until your next Disney trip. How to turn that around? Easy, by keeping a little bit of that Disney magic in our everyday lives. So go ahead, sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee and a little something sweet, and let's chat Disney. Join me here on the White Dragon Podcast Network every other Friday, where we'll celebrate all the magic, all the fun, all the memories, and even some stuff that's not so magical. But don't worry, a little bit of pixie dust should take care of that. So until then, I hope you remember to keep the mouse in your house.
Do you like the Disney parks? I do too. So does my little sister. That's why we started a podcast about them. Hi, I'm Dimitri Ravanis. The name of our show is The Extra Magic Hour. You can hear new episodes each and every Thursday here on the White Dragon Podcast Network. You can also find the show on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in addition to telling you what we love about the parks and doling out some news and tips, we'll do something a little different. We'll tell you what we hate about the parks, where the mouse can improve, and we'll do some fighting. Well, not fighting. We call it friendly debate. Things that Disney fans have been debating and arguing about forever and ever. You'll hear them played out in real time between a brother and a sister every Thursday right here on the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
This is Bill Farmer, and you're listening to Two Men and the Mouse.
Folks, Disney cast members help make the experience more memorable for us. Through their kindness, their generosity of time, and their overall willingness and happiness in helping us navigate through the massive map of Walt Disney World, Disney cast members help to shape our vacation. And everything about cast members, from the way they point, to the way they speak, to the way they dress, Peter Mandel, is meticulously planned out by the company. And that is why this week, Pete and I are taking a look at some of the more nuanced aspects of cast members by taking a look at the top 10 Disney cast member costumes. And the E-Ticket attraction this week is brought to you by Kingdom Strollers kingdomstrollers.com for all of your stroller and crib rental needs that will deliver right to your resort. kingdomstrollers.com. Okay, Pete, so this was a fun list to put together. I mean, they're all fun to put together, but like this one really required a lot of deep thoughts, because I feel like with cast member costumes, sometimes you see them, but you don't see them.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's funny because putting this list together, we thought some of them were so cool. And then when we actually really thought about what they looked like, we're like, oh, no, they're pretty dumb.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you, I mean, spoiler alert, Star Tours is not on this list, because we were just like, oh, well, Star Tours, a Muppet Vision. And then we remembered that, like, they're really not all that. Like, for something that's a Star Wars ride, like, you'd think the Star Tours.
I don't know why they don't give them little, like, mock X-Wing pilot uniforms. They're already orange.
Yeah.
I don't mean like crazy with straps.
Well, they're
and
like
stuff.
Blue,
I mean,
also.
Yeah, they have like blue and orange.
But yeah, you're not going to hear about it. And like, for some reason, I thought the Muppet one was cooler than it is. And when we looked at it, I was just like, oh, all right. But okay, so ready for number 10?
Yes, let's start at the bottom.
Number 10, we're not going to start at number 1.
I always want to, but you shoot me down.
I know, because it's not a good idea, man. It's just nowhere to all go right. But down after that. So that is why. We're starting with number 10, which is over in Epcot. It's the only World Showcase costume on the list this week. But if you know me, you knew this was coming, and that is the costumes in the Canada Pavilion. Now, why, Peter Mandel, are we talking about the Canada Pavilion for costumes?
I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, well, I love it, from the red flannel to the. Like the khaki shorts, the work boots, it just screams the wilderness of Canada. It's just like, oh, hey there, how you doing? Come on in. Yeah, don't let this flannel fool you. We're not chopping down any trees in here. We're just selling these fine ketchup flavored potato chips.
I think you like it because that's the Canada you envision.
It is like happy.
Like people aren't really walking around Canada wearing that. Like,
like happy lumberjacks and mounties and like talking beavers and like mooses that are like, oh, hello there. Out and about today, are we? Really, like if you see a moose in Canada, I've heard that you need to run because it will kill you. So,
where do they have the totem poles in Canada? You think it fits? I mean, I'm sure it does.
Well, I mean, it does because it tells the story. The pavilion tells the story of Canada.
Right.
And the totem pole is like... the native Canadians, and then like
I just never think of totem poles in Canada.
Well, but that's because you're not Canadian. I'm sure the Canadians are like, oh no, totem poles are a big part of our heritage there, Pete. But it's okay. we forgive you for not knowing about it. Now you know. No one's half the battle. Canadian G.I. Joe. You imagine like Canadian G.I. Joe.
I'm sure they had to have had some Canadian G.I. Joes.
What do you think like the Canadian version of Cobra is? Like what's a menace in Canada? It's like just like America.
G.I. Joe is their Cobra.
Yes, this actual G.I. Joe. Oh yeah, no, we don't mess with Cobra. Actually, we don't really mess with the G.I. Joes either. We just politely ask them to stop bothering us, and you know sometimes. Sometimes they say no, you know, most times, maybe. But, you know, a little politeness never hurt anyone. That's by the way, we've got these awesome costumes in the Epcot Pavilion. I love them. I would wear that. Like, I have a red flannel shirt, and I'm gonna wear it to the Canada Pavilion one day and be like, oh, hey there, I'm just like you. They'll be like, what province you from? And I'll be like, oh, Cranford province?
It's a new one.
It's no, we just made it. Just, you know, the queen birthed it herself.
They'll would be you like, be devastated?
The queen has no power in Canada. You're a charlatan. But it's okay. We forgive you.
Would you be upset if you found out that Canadians hated you because of your view of Canada?
No, I actually have made quite a few Canadian friends through the course of this show.
Really?
Yes, I feel like I'm almost an honorary Canadian now because of all the Canadian friends that I've made.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. No, they decide to accept you.
Interesting.
And then, okay. You know, like, my like Canadian baptism was when I had Tim Hortons when I was in New York.
Like, okay.
Instead of dipping you in the water, they just give you a donut and a coffee. Oh, yeah, right. Just scarf down this maple donut and you'll be fine, eh?
Do you have a favorite Canadian superhero?
Alpha Flight and Wolverine.
Just all of them.
Just all of Alpha Flight and Wolverine.
I believe, isn't Deadpool Canadian also?
Yeah, from Regina, Saskatchewan. I just watched that movie over the weekend. It's on HBO right now.
Look at that.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, yeah, in the Germany Pavilion, they're wearing Lederhosen.
I like that.
But I feel like the Lederhosen is almost like a, like it almost, I know it's, I know they're like, ach, so lieber, this Kevin Kessler, he's talking about the Lederhosen. And he's not happy about it. I'm doing Canada. Wait, hold on. I got my, yeah, he's not very happy about the Lederhosen. They're wearing it. We have to wear it. Mr. Walt Disney says we have to wear it. What's your problem? What's funny about this? These are the clothes of our people. What are the French? Do the French guys, like the French in the France Pavilion, they wear like those horizontal striped shirts, don't they? And like berets and like a little like neckerchief.
Do they?
I feel like at least at the food and wine booth they do, unless I'm just seeing it through like American colored glasses and like right. like hey Frenchie, nice neckerchief. I do not know what this American is talking about. I am not wearing how you say is a neckerchief. But I just feel like the Canada one, it's stereotypically Canadian, yes, but it's like stereotypical in like a warm way.
Right. I get that. No, I like it.
I'm glad you like it because I love it.
I know you do.
That's why it's number 10. All right, ready for number 9? We spent a lot of time on that. Number 9. Okay, this one was yours. New Fantasyland. Take me there.
I do like the New Fantasyland, especially like, now I guess they have a couple different ones. I mean, isn't that like one of the trends in Disney now is they have like different cast member costumes? But there's one right outside Princess Fairytale Hall. It's cool. It's almost like a vest thing they wear over a shirt, but right. It looks neat. I can't help it. I like it. I think it's so well themed. Makes me happy.
Makes me happy too. I love the theming of New Fantasyland, and I really like the, you know, it much different from, like, you know, the era of Kate Smith as a cast member in Fantasyland. Like, this is, you know, a new Fantasyland.
Right.
Okay, so number 8, we're staying in the Magic Kingdom for this one. Number 8 is actually a restaurant, and that is Casey's Corner.
Yeah, very well themed.
Love me some Casey's Corner. And, you know, I grew up in a baseball house. Like, I grew up in, like, I know everyone says that, like, baseball is not the American pastime anymore. It's football now. But in my parents' house, it was always baseball. I mean, it has since turned into football, but it was always baseball back then.
Okay.
And for me, when I go in there and I see, like, all the Casey's Corner stuff, but then the cast members are, excuse me, are all decked out in baseball uniforms, I love it.
Yeah, it really sells it.
They have like umpire stuff on too sometimes, right? Or are those just aprons?
Know. What?
They might just be aprons.
That would be cool though if they made them look like chest guards.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Get on that, Disney. All right. So number 7 is one that I kind of insisted upon, but once I said it, you agreed with it. I really like when the cast members are deeply entrenched in the story of a place. I think that's what really makes a good costume. And
right.
That is why I love number 7, the Imagination Pavilion.
Yeah, I love like the lab coat idea.
Me too.
I just think it fits perfectly.
I mean, and I love those lab coats too. You know, with like the imagination written on the sleeve, and just, I love it.
I'd like to have one of those.
Yeah, you know, there's usually one here in my apartment because my roommate works at the Imagination Pavilion.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I've thought about trying it on, but I don't do it.
No, yeah, you can't.
Because that would be wrong. I'm not an employee of the company. God forbid I wrecked it. But yeah, I love those costumes, and I love how, you know, they get to walk around. And ever since I saw Back to the Future as a kid, I've loved lab coats.
Because of Doc?
Yeah, because of Doc. Even though I realized Doc wasn't wearing a lab coat, he was wearing a radiation suit.
Yes, he is.
I was very, very wrong. All right, so number 6, moving along to number 6, that is all, back to the Magic Kingdom, and that is Storybook Circus.
Yeah, also very cool. I mean, the new ones, they put such, you know, planning into it now. I feel like they're really well thought out.
Yeah, I mean, the cast members really look like they're part of a circus when you get in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean like they look freaky or like clowns or anything. I mean like the costumes are very Ringmaster-y.
Although there are clowns in New Fantasyland, right?
I've never seen one.
I have. They came, no lie, they came and put a red nose on my mother-in-law.
Didn't you, isn't somebody in your party like...
my sister-in-law is petrified of clowns.
Even if they do, if they still had the clowns, I guarantee you they don't have them right now.
Yeah, they don't have them right now, that's for sure.
When McDonald's has taken Ronald McDonald out, that's...
Yeah, that's how you know something's up.
That's how you know clowns are not accepted in this society anymore, Peter Mandel.
Yeah, clowns are not in vogue at the moment.
No, very much not. Okay, so... Yeah, I mean, like... So, I usually see these costumes right outside of Dumbo.
Right.
And that's... I mean, I think they're fantastic. I really, really enjoy them. Excellent theming to an excellently themed area.
Yeah, very well done.
Okay, so moving along from Storybook Circus, we're staying in the Magic Kingdom, but we're going to Adventureland. One of the simplest costumes, but one of the most effective, I find to be the Jungle Cruise Skippers.
Yeah, you got to have that. And I feel like that's a costume that has some, I don't want to say it's like putting on the Yankee pinstripes, but
I guarantee
they like putting that costume on every day.
Absolutely. I think that was actually a really good analogy, bringing it back to Casey's Corner with the baseball. But, I think that's definitely a good analogy because it is such an iconic costume and it's such an iconic role in Walt Disney World. I think that, you know, there's got to be a feeling of awe when you put on the skipper costume and the hat for the first time.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be one of the best.
Yeah, you know, they wear them in the horrible skipper canteen also.
Oh, do they? Yeah. Is that the new name?
That's what we call it here on Two Men in the Mouse. Yes, the horrible skipper canteen.
You let me know and I should not skip that anymore.
Never, because, you know, it's awful. Just saying.
Putting it out there.
Putting it out there. Throwing it out there. Okay, moving along. We're staying in the Magic Kingdom, but this is kind of more of a niche costume. So we're in the top five now. Kind of flying through this list. All right, so this is only happens one time a year, but it is one of the most iconic costumes you'll find in Disney. That is the not-so-scary Halloween party cast member costumes, which are the green and orange and purple costumes that are worn. Dresses for the women and the pants and vest for the guys.
Yeah, for some reason, if you showed me this, I might not like it, but... At that party, I think it works so well.
It does
well.
Work. I really, really like that.
I like that the cast members have on, you know, something different for the party. Yep. I don't know. It totally works. I like it.
Yeah. And, you know, you typically see a lot of just like your regular walk around cast. And they're in every single land wearing those costumes. And all of the trick-or-treat locations have those costumes as well.
Right.
So, I mean, definitely a big, big, huge thumbs up for those. Moving along to number three. So the top three, I feel like, could have been interchangeable.
Okay.
You agree with that?
Yeah, well, no.
Top two definitely could have been.
I don't know. Number one is...
Number one is so iconic. But okay, so number three is something that, I mean, like, we knew this had to be in the top three because people cosplay this cast member costume. And that is over at Hollywood Studios, and it is the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror bellhops.
I think it's one of the coolest costumes in the park. Yeah.
The bellhops actually really, like, they really kind of help form the overall feel of the attraction itself.
Definitely.
I feel like without the bellhops.
They're a key contributor.
Yeah, I feel like without the bellhops contribution, the ride loses something.
Yeah, I can totally buy that.
And you know, they're there when you walk in, they're there when you walk out. It's definitely like a really cool, and everything, like, from like it's a blood colored costume to like it's just very, very creepy when they're loading you into that elevator in the basement.
Yeah, I mean, they do such a good job too, you know.
They do, they really do. Like, I have a friend who is a was a Tower of Terror bellhop in California.
Okay.
I guess soon she'll be working for the Collector. But yeah, she loved it. Like, the best is like when the bellhops, like, she would show me that the bellhops would do like one final like ride of the night sometimes after the park is closed, and like they're all like, for the picture, they're all like smiling evilly, like they're not like freaking out or anything.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, it's really neat. I enjoy it quite a bit. Okay, so ready for get down and dirty here, number two and number one. Ready for this?
Let's do it.
All right, so number two is, I could have made a case for this being number one, but number one is so iconic. I think this is one of the coolest looking and most impressive looking costumes in all of Walt Disney World.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like these costumes are very high quality, and they really fit with the overall theme of the ride. Also,
Definitely.
Yeah. Also, this is one that also occasionally is in my house because roommate works there too. And that is the Soarin' flight attendants.
It's sleek, just like, you know, the ride is.
It's sleek. It's official looking. I love the red, white, and blue colors of it. I mean, Patrick Warburton wears one. It's awesome.
Wonder if he still has his.
I doubt it. I mean, like, I love, like, right when you walk up to the queue, like, right at the beginning, you see those costumes and you just know you're at Soarin'.
Yep.
And they're, you know, all throughout the queue area, and then they're in the room with you, too. You know, as Soarin' goes off.
I think it's such a, like, I mean, I know I said sleek, but it's such a, like, a, you know, the queue is such a different, like, queue than you normally have for a Disney ride. You know, based on the building and everything that's in, I get that. I just think those costumes are perfect. They look like the queue area. You know, they look like flight attendants, practically. You know, that's what they're supposed to look like.
Exactly. I mean, those cannot be cheap costumes.
No, they look pretty nice.
Like, of all the costumes out there, like, those seem like they're the best quality material. And, like, they're thick and they're, you know, like, it seems like a very upscale costume. Right. All right, ready for number one?
Yes.
Number one is the Haunted Mansion. I think in nowhere else in Walt Disney World does the cast member costume blend so seamlessly with the interior and exterior of the attraction, with the cast members being butlers and maids of the mansion itself.
Definitely has to be, you know, the most fun costume.
And, you know, like, there's even, like, a cool little, like, urban, like, Disney urban legend. Not even an urban legend, just, like, a cool, like, Disney fun fact about it. And that is that for the female cast members, they all have a headpiece that has a bat on it, and they all name their bat.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, like, you should have Abby try it to, like, help ease her fears a little bit. Like, whenever you see a Haunted Mansion female cast member, ask her what her bat's name is, and they'll tell you.
It's Kevin.
I haven't met one of those yet. If you're a listener to the show and you are a Haunted Mansion cast member who has yet to name her bat, might I just point out that Kevin is a wonderful name for the bat. But yeah, like, I've heard some good ones. I've heard, like, Bat Ingsley and, like, you know, things like that. And then I've heard, like, some really out there ones. Cause I always ask.
Okay.
I'm that guy that always asks, like, what's your bat's name? And they, you know, they're not even shocked that people, like, I guess enough people ask them every day. Like, they're not shocked that people know. Did you know about that before?
No. Really? No, I think that's very cool.
Yeah, no, you definitely should have Abby ask, because I think she'd get a kick out of that. Or I feel like Ethan might be fascinated by that as well.
Yeah, they'd both like it. It's neat.
I don't know if they do it in Disneyland, but... Okay, so you ready to hear what our friends around the world had to say about this?
Yes.
They were a chatty bunch this week, so... Okay, so we said, Mousers, for tonight's show, what are your favorite cast member costumes? And folks, all of this information is gathered from our Facebook discussion group, facebook.com/groups/2menandthemouse. Please check it out. Okay, so we got 43 responses to get through here. All right, so Sam Murphy says, everyone at the Haunted Mansion, classic. Sarah Coyle says, I'm going to have to think about this one. And then she waited and came back and edited it, like, later. And she said, okay, I'm going to go with the Haunted Mansion. That was my first thought, but wanted to wait and see if somebody else mentioned something I didn't think of. Chelsea Golden posted a picture of, I believe that is a haunted, like, it. I think it's the Memento Mori cast member costume, because she does work in Magic. It's her in that costume. I think she works in Magic Kingdom. So Amanda Welker says the carousel dancers around Mickey and Minnie's float at the Festival of Fantasy Parade. Brett Morton said Casey's Corner. Katie Nelson says Tower of Terror. My girlfriend Sam says the maids at the Haunted Mansion. Annie Ransom says the cast costumes that are worn for Not So Scary. Michael Hendricks says, I second the Tower of Terror. Always been my favorite. And I secondly love Spaceship Earth uniforms for some odd reason. I can't even picture a Spaceship Earth cast member costume.
I think they're pretty gray.
Yeah, I think so too. Jared Crespo says, definitely old school Star Tours, rocking the orange and blue. Jillian Lassiter says, definitely Norway Pavilion and the Puffin's Roost. That's an interesting one. That's obscure. Yeah. Deep cuts.
Serious.
Dan Griffith says, Bellboy Tower of Terror. He didn't cough. He said, Bellboy Tower of Terror outfits, they fit in perfectly. Creeps me out every time. Matt Bastani says, Haunted Mansion maid and butler. Kaylin Quinn says, Haunted Mansion costumes and outfits, creepy and fun. Rosanna Manzer, one of my Canadian friends, thank you very much, Peter Mandel, says, Haunted Mansion and Tower of Terror. Katie Kauser says, Casey's Corner costumes fits the theme so perfectly. The classic baseball feel they give off takes you to a different time period. I also love Polly's costumes because it makes you feel like you're really in a Polynesian paradise. I do like the Polynesian resort.
Yeah, it's pretty okay.
Yeah. Tim Elbing says, the cast member costumes for Not So Scary. Rachel Odegaard says, I like the plaid vest costumes for the VIP tour group guides. That's a good one.
I like those too. Yeah, those are very cool.
She said, I think the survey takers wear them too. I'm not sure about that. I don't, the survey takers don't wear them, but I think the people that, like, the customer service people that help outside the touch points, I think, wear them or something okay. Very similar. Lindsay Jessup says, ignoring the obvious Tower of Terror and Haunted Mansion, I think the seasonal cast member costumes are my favorite, especially the Halloween ones. The folks who work at Days of Christmas in Disney Springs also have adorable costumes. I love that they go the extra mile to bring the holidays to you. Matthew Gledhill says, safari everything in the Animal Kingdom. That it, there's a lot of safari stuff in Animal Kingdom. Like. Katarina Dupree says, overall costume is definitely Tower of Terror, but I saw cast members yesterday at World of Disney with the coolest vests. It was black and white with Mickey sketches. It's cool.
Okay.
Ben Power says, the skippers for Jungle Cruise and Skipper and the horrible Skipper Canteen. He didn't say the horrible. I added that in. Vicky Fort says, the Dapper Dans. They even have a day where people can dress like them. You know the Dapper Dans do a Not So Scary show?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they're the Cadaver Dans.
Oh, yes, I have heard
I
that.
I love that. Mikey Wisenhunt says, the creepy stilt walkers that accompany Maleficent during the Festival of Fantasy Parade. It's Marilyn Manson meets Edgar Allan Poe, which that is pretty... Becky Adams, who hosts Cause and Effect here on the White Dragon Podcast Network, says, Liberty Square, they remind me of Hamilton. She loves that show, Hamilton. And her husband, Zach, who I just hung out with both of them this week, says they're epic and Kermit wears one now, too, which is true. Storybook Julius from Storybook Radio says, test track, trivia bit. The Tower of Terror bellhop costumes are the most expensive at about $1,000 each.
Wow.
That's a lot of money for a costume.
It is.
Heather Hunter says, I think you should do the ugliest, mouse gear. The color scheme serves a good purpose, but they are ugly. Those Mouse Gear costumes. Heather, we used to work at Mouse Gear.
You know, maybe she's a little bitter towards Mouse Gear. I don't mind that one. I got to tell you, the one at Chester and Hester's is bad.
You know, I've never really looked at that one because I don't really spend a lot of time at Chester and Hester's. So I will have to look in there.
Let me also just say, I think the most disappointing one is Pirates.
Yeah, you know what? Pirates,
it's okay.
Pirates is,
it's
just, yeah. It's just,
you would think Pirates has a cool costume.
You'd
it doesn't.
Think everyone would be dressed okay. as Pirates.
Yeah, they're not.
They're not at all. Zach Adams says, the kitschiness that is the basic Epcot ball shirt is frequently overlooked. I love them. Katie Sword says, Tower of Terror followed closely by the Jungle Cruise skippers because you could never have enough khaki. Tara Dawn says, Haunted Mansion, cast members, and the Dapper Dans. Josh Busier says, Casey's Corner, love the classic baseball feel. Katie Skeen, who is another one of my Canadian friends, she's actually my Canadian nemesis, says, oh, I love the pavilion uniforms, especially the plaid in Canada. See? Canada.
Yep.
Canada. Oh, yeah. See, even Canadians like the costumes in Canada.
I guess that makes sense.
Yep, just standing here, serving and protecting. Serving ketchup chips and protecting from shoplifters. You know, we got seats outside the store now. They do, Pete. They've got tables and chairs out there.
It's Kevin's dream job.
What, to work in...
the Canadian Pavilion?
Well, I can't. I'm not, like, fully Canadian.
Maybe that's your angle. How can you guys deny me a job? That's, like, discrimination.
You think?
Yeah.
I guess it could be. People will be like, oh, yeah, where are you from in Canada? I'm like,
I'm actually honorary Canadian.
Maple Leafville, Hockey Town. You're not Canadian at all. But now they're Americans, so like they're actually mad. not like the fun-loving Canadians from before who thought it was okay and cute.
Right.
Monica Pinto from The Mouse in Our House here on the White Dragon Podcast Network says Haunted Mansion, of course. And Michael Fernandez says Tower of Terran or Soarin are awesome. Honorable mention Haunted Mansion. So he kind of went in reverse order from what we did.
Yeah.
Okay, so there you have it, Pete. The top 10 Disney cast member costumes. Are you excited that we got through it?
Yeah, something not to be taken for granted.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
This is one we've been planning on doing for a while. This is like one of those, like, this has been one of those when we're like, oh, what do we do? This is always one of the ones that comes up. We just hadn't happened to do it yet, but now we finally did.
Yeah.
Next time we'll have to get that top 10 smells of Walt Disney World out there, because that is
that's
another one that we always say we're gonna
we still gotta do that one.
We always say we're gonna do it and then we never do it. Okay, so what, I mean, we got some time. Anything bugging you right now?
Huh. No, I mean, nothing usually bothers me.
No, yeah, you're a pretty easygoing guy.
What about you?
No, I mean, I'm pretty good. I haven't been to Disney in a while though, since the whole being sick thing. I am going.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to studios tomorrow because I really want to see the Star Wars fireworks at least 3 more times before they go away.
Well, good, because tomorrow you can go and look for my R2-B00.
Yes, and I'm also going to weep at the writer's stop when I see that it's closed.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
I need to find a new Hollywood Studios hangout, Pete. Like, that's not cool. At all.
There's got to be some cool place to hang out.
What, the ABC commissary? I would rather be dead.
What about over by Gertie? Aren't there little benches and stuff over there?
I mean, yeah, but they're out in the sun. Like, the other great thing about Writer's Stop was it was air-conditioned.
Definitely. Well,
it was air-conditioned. It had couches and tables and... Ugh, come on, Disney. You're killing me here.
Are you going to bang on the door and be like, why?
Let me in!
Or go into Sci-Fi and be like, "Oh, I think I left my wallet in there."
I need to get in there and then just sit in the couch and be like, "Oh, this feels so right."
You get in there, the couches are gone.
Oh, that would be the worst. I bet they're retooling it to fit more to the Sci-Fi theme. I had heard a rumor that it was going to turn into some kind of Sci-Fi lounge.
Absolutely not.
You think they're just going to leave that space open? It's going to be something.
Kevin, how long has that been there? Attached to Sci-Fi, and they've never changed it.
I bet you that it will be.
I mean, what else could it be?
Can't think of what to bet you, but like, I bet you something.
I hope you're right.
Listen, I will bet this this Boba Fett mug from Hollywood Studios against that $1,000 Superman bust that you have up there on the wall.
I'm going to not accept that bet.
Not accept that bet, no. Well, it's because you know I'm right, right, Peter Mantle?
I hope you are right.
I hope I'm not. I don't want it to be themed to sci-fi. I want my writer's stop back. Like,
well, you're not getting the writer's stop back.
But, I mean, that's like another thing. It's like, it was themed, like, okay, so you have the, you know, Television Arts and Sciences building and things like that. And, you know, you used to have, like, the thing where you can actually step inside old TV shows. And then you have, you know, you had the writer's stop, which was geared toward writers who are of an important part of the movie-making process.
Right, writers who are stopping.
Yes, to drink coffee and eat a carrot cake cookie.
Right.
Second most popular snack on Disney property. It is, I'm telling you.
I believe that also.
You don't believe it, and it bothers me that you won't believe this.
No, I do believe it.
What do you think is better than the carrot cake? Like, what do you think is more popular than the carrot cake cookie?
Ice cream sandwich.
No.
Mickey bar. Churros. Pretzels.
This is up there with the Dole Whip in popularity because you can only get it in the one.
Dole Whip.
The Dole Whip is the number one. That's why it's the number two.
It makes no sense. This isn't. That snack is not even like a top 10 snack.
Oh, did I tell you that I got my. It was in our list of top 10 snacks, I think. Was it?
I'm sure it was.
No, it wasn't, actually. I don't think it was.
It had to be. If Canada made our top 10 costumes, that cookie had to make. Our top 10 snacks.
Because I don't think it's in the gauntlet.
Thank God it's not in the gauntlet.
A lot of people use it for their wild card, but I don't think it's in the gauntlet. We may have to revise that list.
No, it can't be in the gauntlet. It's not that good of a snack.
It's a great... I mean, you've never even like had it.
I'm telling you, that is not a snack gauntlet worthy snack.
That's like me looking at a comic book on your... That's like me looking at a comic book on your shelf and being like, you know what? I don't. That's not a good comic book. I've never read it, but it's not good.
But people do say that.
Yeah, and those people are morons. I cannot. You have to at least try it.
Nope.
Next time you're here, I will get myself one and I will break off a piece for you.
Why can't you buy me one?
Because you won't eat. Because I'm afraid you won't eat it.
I love carrot cake.
You love carrot cake, but you won't abide by this cookie?
I have carrot cake in my fridge at home right now.
Okay, now just imagine it as a cookie. That's not good?
I saw the carrot cake cookie. I didn't think it looked good.
It's big. It's moist. It's got the icing in between the two cookies. Like
That's the part I didn't like, maybe.
The icing?
I just thought it was too much.
You know what? I feel like I don't know you anymore.
Really? Because I've never really liked the carrot cake cookie.
Yeah, I know, but how can you like carrot cake and not? It's just carrot cake in a new form.
Let me also say I like peanut butter. Yeah, I don't like peanut butter flavored anything.
Okay, but it's not carrot cake, and that's not a carrot cake flavored cookie. It's not even really a cookie. Calling it a cookie is actually a disservice. It is two giant circular pieces of carrot cake with icing in the middle.
Hence, why I don't like it. It's not a carrot cake cookie.
It's like a miniature carrot cake.
Yeah, I remember going there and being like, do you guys have the carrot cake cookie? And they're like, yeah, right here. And I was like, oh.
No, so wait, you went with like the intention of trying it and then saw it and backed off?
Yeah.
Why? What's wrong with it?
Man, I just didn't think it was snack worthy. I was probably down to like 30 snacks on my meal plan.
Might I point out that I get ridiculed all the time for the fact that popcorn is on our top 10 snack list?
Well, popcorn is like a staple of American culture.
Yes, but like you can get popcorn anywhere. It's just Pop Secret popcorn. It's something special.
How do you know it's Pop Secret?
Because it is Pop Secret.
But you can get tons of snacks anywhere. You can get funnel cake anywhere.
I had my first Disney funnel cake recently.
You what?
I had my first Disney funnel cake recently.
You had your first Disney funnel cake recently?
Yeah. Oh, no. You don't get to judge Mr. Carrot Cake Cookie.
No. Let's not compare a made-up cookie to a funnel cake, which is
no, I've had funnel cakes,
classic.
But never like a Disney funnel cake
before. You've never had a Disney funnel cake before?
No, and I've still never paid for one.
That's cool. I don't need you to pay for it. I need you to eat it. Did you get it with the slab of ice cream on top?
No. we were at, when I was at Not So Scary the first time with my sidekick, she was dressed as like one of the random birds from like the Disney short film that came before Monsters, Inc., and I was videotaping her walking around and asking people what she was.
Okay.
And nobody got it. And I was laughing at her. So she's waiting in line at Sleepy Hollow, and I'm asking all the cast members behind the counter what her costume is, and none of them get it. They're like, a blue bird? Are you the bird from Up? Like, and no one's getting it, so I'm laughing really hard. And so they come up with this funnel cake, and they're like... I don't remember who it was, so I'll just get my Impractical Jokers on and say, Larry? Larry? Larry! And my sidekick just goes, I could be Larry. And they just handed her the funnel cake.
Really?
Yeah, and we had funnel cake.
So you guys stole Larry's funnel cake?
Well, Larry wasn't around. Larry ordered his funnel cake, paid for his funnel cake, and then apparently left.
Do you think Larry went back to the window and was like, where's my funnel cake?
I'm sure they just gave him another funnel cake at that point.
Hmm.
You think that funnel cake was only meant for Larry?
Well, they did, you know, make it for
maybe
him.
Maybe Larry was Canadian, and he just was like, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm just glad someone's enjoying it.
Give it to Kevin.
He's an honorary Canadian, don't you know?
Oh, man.
Gladys, our funnel cake got eaten by that honorary Canadian boy on the radio. It's Larry O'Toole.
I do like the funnel cake.
Larry O'Toole, our Canadian character from a few weeks back.
Now, you need to get a funnel cake at the funnel cake house in Epcot.
I have often thought of doing it, and I've occasionally almost stopped there to get one, but I always at the last second turn back.
Why?
I'm just kind of like, I've had fun. Like, there were, like, my brother played traveling baseball. And so there were, like, for many summers of my life, I lived off dirty water hot dogs and funnel cakes.
They didn't have carrot cake cookies there?
No.
Huh.
Because a carrot cake cookie is a...
not a staple of American snacking?
No, it doesn't have to be a staple. It's a specialty. It's a special thing that you can only get
it's
in this one
special.
Magical place. It's very special.
It's not that special.
You're going to have that carrot cake cookie.
Honestly, the worst dessert on property is that funky carrot cake that they give you in the cup.
Oh, I thought you were about to say it was the carrot cake cookie, and I was about to be like, is Two Men and the Mouse about to end over a carrot cake cookie?
No, do you know what I'm talking about? Like,
yes.
If you go to, like, Electric Umbrella,
yeah,
you're like, oh, and I'll have a carrot cake, and you get that carrot cake in the cup.
No. First of all, you never get the carrot cake. You always get the chocolate cake because...
I don't like chocolate cake. I always get the carrot cake.
You don't like... How do you... Okay, so now you don't like chocolate cake either?
Yeah, I'm not really a chocolate-on-chocolate person.
I mean, listen, if I have my choice, it's chocolate cake, vanilla icing, but I'm not turning down a chocolate-on-chocolate cake.
Nah, I don't... You know what? My daughter doesn't like chocolate either. It's very weird.
It's really weird.
We have weird tastes. What can I say?
Nothing. Nothing at all. Nothing nice about the carrot cake cookie, apparently.
Like, Heather made a chocolate bundt cake the other day.
Yeah.
She knows my love of bundt cakes.
But not your dislike of chocolate.
Well, but I actually like chocolate bundt cakes, but I don't want it, like, iced with, like, chocolate. So it's just, like, we just put, like, a powdered sugar on top.
That sounds awful.
It's wonderful.
I don't like when they put powdered sugar on cake. I feel like I'm just like, either go icing or go plain. Don't give me this between powder.
Well, we don't, like, powder it, like, you know, crazy. It is fairly plain, which is how I like it.
I'm
going to
get powder all over me at that point in time. I'm going to be, like, a walking powder puff, like...
Well, I guess if you eat it with your hands, maybe.
What other ways are to eat cake?
Fork and knife.
Oh, well. Oh, loop-de-doo. Look at Peter Mandel, Mr. Downton Abbey over here. Just, you know, can't eat cake with his hands. And, you know, you eat that carrot cake cookie with your hands. Even though it's just a little cake. So Gilmore Girls are coming back soon.
I know. I keep thinking we should do a Gilmore Girls special. There have to be at least 5 listeners who like Gilmore Girls also.
Okay. So, like, we do, like, maybe, like, a half-hour show, like, after it airs, and it's just, like in the beginning, we're like, listen, this is not a show, this is not an episode about Disney.
Right. Yeah, just a Gilmore Girls special. There's no way it could be limited to a half an hour.
We can't call it Gilmore Guys because that's already a podcast. Otherwise,
that podcast is very good.
I know, and otherwise, we would have totally had a podcast called Gilmore Guys had it not, you know.
Except it would have been about Disney.
Yeah.
That would have been the problem.
You're like the Emily Gilmore of cake. Like, you know, like you won't eat with your...
I will take any comparison to Emily Gilmore and say thank you.
Yeah, I say you're the Dowager Countess of carrot cake.
What was that?
You're the Dowager Countess of carrot cake. That's from Downton Abbey.
That's why I didn't get it.
Yeah, I would assume so. You're lucky that you didn't get that, because I do get it, and I hate that I get it. All right, ready to end for this week?
Let me just say, do you ever see The Modern Family where they go to Disneyland?
Yeah, and Sofia Vergara ends up wearing the mini slippers.
And
which, by the way, would probably have hurt her more than those heels.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But they make the great reference to Cam about Downton Disney. And he's like, yeah, no. It's just great.
I love that show.
Downtown Disney. It is a very good show.
Downton Disney. All right. Well, that's going to do for Two Men and the Mouse this week, folks. Thank you so much for joining us. This was a fun list to do. And I always love when we have extra time, we're able to kind of vamp at the end like we did about the carrot cake cookie.
You love that carrot cake cookie.
I really do. Folks,
if you could eat one of those wearing a Canadian cast member costume.
Oh, my life would be complete. Oh, it's okay. We'll allow it. Looks like he's having fun. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/twomenandthemouse, on Twitter @twomenandthemouse, Instagram @WhiteDragonPN. Also, the White Dragon Podcast Network is on Facebook @facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, and we are on Twitter @WhiteDragonPN. If you want your questions answered on the show from an expert like Dave Leichert of Magical Travel, you can send it to questions@twomenandthemouse.com. And if you like the show, please share it with a friend or a family member, tweet it out, talk it up, give it a rating and review in iTunes. And folks, if you are a fan of the show,
please, and you want to see it continue to grow as well as bring back Mouse and the Knees discussions and the other great programming here on the White Dragon Podcast, please consider giving to our Patreon at patreon.com/2menandthemouse WDPN. Again, no amount is too small and every little bit is appreciated. Folks, if you love our good friend Peter Mandel, check out his comic book store, Rogue Comics in Cranford, New Jersey, 105 North Union Avenue, Cranford, New Jersey, 07016, or go to roguecomics.com where you can check out a link to Pete's eBay store. If you are planning a trip to Walt Disney World, Disney Cruise, Adventures by Disney, any Disney resort throughout the known world, or Aulani out in Hawaii, or Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, please check out our good friend and sponsor, Dave Weichert of Magical Travel. You can always find Dave on Facebook as Magical Travel Dave, or email him, dave@magicaltravel.com. If you are renting a crib or stroller in Walt Disney World, please check out our friends at Kingdom Strollers, who will rent you the crib or stroller of your dreams and deliver it right to your Disney resort. And folks, also, if you want to apply the wisdom of Walt to your life, please check out the book, The Wisdom of Walt by Jeff Barnes. I promise you, you will enjoy it. It is wonderful. Available in hardcover, paperback, and audiobook format. And for me, folks, please just check out my book, Rocinante. The vintage edition is coming down at the end of this month. Halloween will be the last day to get it. I'm currently selling the last batch of signed copies of Rocinante, so if you want that, please holler at me over at my Facebook page, facebook.com/KevinJKesslerAuthor. All right, folks, thank you again for joining us this and every week. Pete, any closing words?
Nope, good list this week, Kevin.
Good list this weekend. All right, folks, please keep the magic alive every day of your lives. We will see you next week on Two Men and the Mouse.